Welcome to Season 2 of Unabridged. This is Sarah. Each month, we feature the chosen Unabridged Book Club pick with hashtag Unabridged Book Club. And we have a feature episode highlighting a particular topic relevant to the book world with hashtag Unabridged Highlights. On the off weeks, we do short episodes addressing bookish things with our hashtag Unabridged Shorts.
This is Ashley. To support Unabridged, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Unabridged Pod, like our Unabridged Facebook page, or find us on the web at unabridgedpod.com. We also have a Patreon page that you can check out.
This is Jen. We'd like to thank Jared Featherstone, who composed and performed our theme music, Strings of Light. Many thanks to Katie Amy of Amy Photography, our podcast photographer, and Tim Rieger, our videographer. Thanks for listening to Unabridged.
Hey, it's Sarah. Today we're discussing Erica Sanchez's I'm Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter. Please note that spoilers are inevitable as we discuss the book. This book is about Julia, a teenager whose sister Olga has just been killed in a horrific accident. We follow Julia as she navigates her place in a traditional Mexican home after her sister's death, her own feelings about life, and her relationship in the aftermath of a life-changing accident. So, what'd you guys think?
Hey, it's Ashley. I loved this book. I will say, so I nominated and voted for this for book club, so I was deeply invested. And I did think, and I'm sure we'll get into this, that as I have said before, I am a slow reader, and so I did feel like it moved more slowly than I anticipated in the first part of the book, but I felt like it got stronger and stronger as it kept going, and I loved Julia. I felt like the family dynamics were really compelling. In a lot of the book, I kind of hated her parents, especially her mom, and I felt like that really came around and was meaningful, and I love the way that things unfolded, and I hated to see her struggle, but I think that a lot of the movement of the book, and Jen, I'm sure, Jen had mentioned before, and we'll talk about now, I'm sure, some of the way that the movement in the book parallels what's going on in Julia's life. But definitely, like, I felt like the book got stronger and stronger as it went along, and I was very satisfied and felt like, you know, in the end, that it held up really well and just got better as I kept going.
Yeah, this is Jen. I agree. I mean, it's weird to say I enjoyed it because I did feel like at the beginning, as Ashley was saying, it was quite difficult to read. But I thought that was purposeful on Sanchez's part because I thought she very much wanted the reader to be in Julia's place as she's struggling with, I mean, this is a slight spoiler, but as she's struggling with depression and with her grief. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way that her days must have been just so hard to get through, I thought sometimes those chapters were a little hard to get through. And I know that it made it challenging, but then I also thought as the book progressed and as Julia was able to bring about some changes in her own life, that the tone of the book changed. And so it was weird. It started to feel lighter. It started to feel more hopeful. Mm-hmm. And so it was neat as a reader to feel my own reading experience was reflecting Julia's progress as a character. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, the writing was really, really strong. I think it's well crafted. I really loved it. What did you think, Sarah?
I liked it. I loved Julia's voice. I thought that I just felt like I could really feel her in every aspect, and I felt like throughout the whole book that Sanchez really stayed true to her voice. There was never a question about, in some of the other books we've read, the voice felt really generic, and even when I liked those books, the voice felt generic. Mm-hmm. And this one, it was not the case. I really felt like I knew her, and I knew, I could anticipate how she was going to react to things, and I really, really liked that. I thought the beginning was really difficult for me to read because I've had a couple of sudden deaths in my family with young people, younger people, and so it was a little bit traumatic to read it because I could relate to her in a lot of ways. I liked being able to work through that, and I thought that by the end, like both of you, I thought that it really had a hopeful message. Mm-hmm. I did think it was, like Ashley said, I did have to plod a little bit mm-hmm. at certain parts. I was like, where are we going here? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to get to the, what is going to be the thing that takes us to the end? Because I couldn't really figure that out. But by the end, I was like, I liked it. And I really enjoyed the character mm-hmm. and learning about her and her life and mm-hmm. her dynamics with her family. So overall, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, so of course, it's her depression is hard, and we'll talk about that. But also that she's the kind of kid I love to teach.
Yeah.
Who's like a little cynical, mm-hmm. a little sarcastic, has a very keen sense of the world and of her place mm-hmm. in it. And it's just super perceptive. So I enjoyed, like you said, her character mm-hmm. was so fun. And her voice was so compelling. And she really did feel like a student I could have had in yes. my class.
Yeah, I loved how she just said it how it is. Yeah. And was so direct. And, I mean, that was a lot of what her parent, you know, her mom was put off by. Mm-hmm. excuse me, was her directness. But I just think, I mean, I was looking back at some of the things she said in early on about Olga's death. She said, she's dead. I refuse to say passed away like everyone else. Why can't people say what they mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I mean, I just think, you know, there was a lot of that kind of thing with her voice that she just wanted the world to be more straightforward than it was and for people to say what they meant about things. Yeah. And I think that was part of why she felt so separated mm-hmm. and isolated is because everybody else seemed to be handling this very differently than the way that she handled it and the way that she felt people should handle mm-hmm. the yeah. loss of someone.
I really appreciated that because I think that when you've lost someone or, you know, you can relate to that when people come up and say they're in a better place, they, mm-hmm. You know, at least they're not struggling.
Pain.
Yeah, yeah. All that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fine, but that's making that person feel better. Mm-hmm. For the person that's receiving it, you're like, but they're dead and they're
right.
gone.
And they're
I'm
not
never
with
gonna,
me.
And they're not with me,
me,
and I'm never going to see them again.
Right.
On this earth, you know? So mm-hmm. I really like that. I definitely felt she captured that feeling, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I think she did a really good, Erica Sanchez did a really good job of capturing that feeling.
Yeah, there's a quotation here. I know we're over-quoting right now, but she's just such a great writer. So yeah. she said, but when was Olga not in peace? This Jesus stuff is all a sack of crap. Once you're dead, you're dead. The only thing that makes sense to me is what Walt Whitman said about death. Look for me under your boot soles. Olga's body will turn to dirt, which will grow into trees, and then someone in the future will step on their fallen leaves. There is no heaven. There is only earth, sky, and the transfer of energy. The idea would almost be beautiful if this weren't such a nightmare. And so I think you see, I mean, one of the struggles she has with her parents is definitely that she is not feeling at home in the religion anymore, which is very important, especially to her mother. She doesn't want to go to church with her, so there's that conflict. Mm-hmm. And then just that, yeah, like you're saying, she doesn't want to think about her sister being at peace. She wants to think about that, again, that she is just gone from her. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, and plus that's just beautiful. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible passage, but mm-hmm. it's so well written. I just marked so many quotations in mm-hmm. this book because Sanchez's phrasing mm-hmm. just perfectly captured the way Julia was feeling so much of the time.
And I think that no matter what you believe, at times like that, it's really hard to believe that there's something out
right.
there. You know, like you get, and you can work past it. But I think that it's in that moment when mm-hmm. someone's especially like someone like Olga, who was young and
right.
vibrant and
was totally out of the blue.
Yeah,
right.
totally out of the blue. That just, I mean, I think that is difficult. Where some people like hold on to their religion, some people will turn away from it because mm-hmm. it's hard to believe that, you know, that can happen in a world where there's someone watching out for mm-hmm. you. But I mean, I thought that it was really realistic, and
yeah.
I thought
yeah.
that
well, yeah, that she doesn't want to be comforted,
yeah.
right? That she wants to feel the pain because that is the reality that her sister is gone and that is painful.
Mm-hmm.
And so to try to make that somehow positive, that last line, the idea would almost be beautiful if this weren't such a nightmare,
right?
That yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that kind of brings us to how Julia's family, her role in this, in her Mexican-American family, but
mm-hmm.
she's first generation, really, American,
mm-hmm.
and about her, the pressure she
mm-hmm.
feels with her, especially her mom.
Yeah.
And what do y'all think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what I loved was how she was both having to grieve the loss of Olga.
Right.
Who she was clearly devastated to lose, but also having to deal with the constant comparisons between her and this perfect dead sister. And the whole quinceañera part is just so painful because it is, I mean, she just knows that everything they're doing for her is only because Olga is dead.
I just wanted to cry about the dress. Heartbreaking. Just the dress. Yeah. I mean, just like not wanting the party, not liking to be, and like as an introvert, I can totally, I think that seems like a nightmare for me because I do not want to be like, you know.
The center of everything, basically. Yes.
So, especially in, like, it's so fancy.
Uh-huh. And, you know, something that is not you, right?
And, I mean, if I were going to have a party, I would want to be able to wear what I'm comfortable in, not being, like, shoved in a dress that is not becoming and all that and feeling horrible. That I just felt for her so much just as a, like, my little Sarah, like, teenager. I'm like, no, I just can't imagine that, you know?
Well, and it was so hard, too, because she genuinely loved her sister. And I think always with siblings, there's some rivalry. Yeah. And Olga definitely, I mean, she was not perfect, but she was the perfect Mexican daughter, right? Mm-hmm. That's the title of the book. And so I think it was also hard for Julia because instead of just being able to miss her sister, then she was also dealing with all of this resentment because they were idealizing someone who was already pretty much the ideal, or if they thought she was the ideal. And how much more complex is that, right? That not only are you grieving her, but now there's this big target on you because you can never live up to who your sister was.
And because suddenly now there's this pressure to be in that mold. Uh-huh. In a lot of ways, you know, she was contrary to Olga before, but now that Olga's gone, there's pressure for her to become this. I mean, that's, I just saw the quote from her mom. It's like, what kind of woman are you going to be if you can't even make a tortilla? And I just think there were so many times where, you know, they were all her, you know, she felt so judged and pigeonholed and trapped and yet couldn't kowtow to what people expected of her. And so, yeah, I think that's really tough.
There was the moment. Sorry, Sarah, did you?
No, you go right ahead.
There was the moment when Julia's mother finds her journal.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the most horrifying moment. Besides the death, but the most horrifying moment.
That was, like, my worst nightmare as a kid.
Yes, I will just say, spoiler here. So, exit if you want to exit. Yeah. So her mother finds her journal that she wants to be a writer. She's been perfecting her poetry. She has things she's been working on. And because she sees curse words, she can't even read English well, but she does recognize these curse words. And so she rips every page with a curse word out of the journal. And I mean, that was so devastating. Like, I felt ill when I read that part. Mm-hmm. It was horrifying.
That's the moment where I was like, I really don't
feel that way.
Yeah, but I felt like, how could you do that? And how could you read her journal? Like, yes. I mean, and the whole time that this is going on, you know, you're just like, she's just being a normal teenager.
Right.
And she, you know, but I mean, but there were expectations. Her mom had these expectations that she was never going to meet. Mm-hmm. And then the only outlet she has are these journals, and then her mom tears them up. It just was.
Well, and that's what I thought. In so many ways, it would have been better if her mother had just taken the journal and kept it away from her. But it would have been somewhere with her thoughts and her. But to rip it out and destroy the pages, it was like destroying part of her soul. I mean, that part for me was so, it was so powerful because it was so horrifying. So there again, I hate to say I enjoyed it because that part was devastating, but painful. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was so, it was communicated so well.
Yes. So then she meets Connor. Mm-hmm. She meets a boy at a bookstore. Everybody, all of our dreams. You know, a boy in a bookstore. Yes, please. But I'm just joking. I'm happily married. But
your teenage self.
By my teenage self, yes. So she meets this boy, and what did you guys think of that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that dynamic was really fascinating, and I felt like she was so gracious with him, and I appreciated that in her personality, but sort of had a hard time relating to it. Like, when Lorena met him, her perspective was much more what I feel that my perspective would have been, even though he seemed like a nice guy, and he did nice things with her and for her, it would have been really tough for me. I mean, I just think Sanchez did a really amazing job of showing the ins and outs of Julia's poverty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just in a clear, straightforward, I just loved how she showed the readers what it was like for her to be poor.
Yes.
And so it was just really tough to, I mean, I think Sanchez makes it believable that Julia, because she's gracious, because she's open, because she cares about people and their personalities and their character and not about socioeconomic background and stuff like that, that she's able to think past that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was hard for me to imagine. And then when he was like, I don't know if I can stick with you when I can't even see you.
Yes.
I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Well, what about that moment in the thrift store?
I just think Sanchez did such a great job of showing how socioeconomic factors are huge.
Right. Yes. Right.
And that they really impact the way people see the world,
mm-hmm.
and the way people interact with each other. And yeah, I mean, I think how she was just kind of nauseated by the whole thing. And then mm-hmm. at the same time, like, kicking herself.
Right.
Like, don't ruin it.
Right.
Come on, Julia, get with it here. Yes. Don't ruin it because it's not that big of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a big thing.
Right.
And I think that's absolutely...
And the
that
fact
happens
that
in society all the time. I thought it was just a great example of something that happens all the time, mm-hmm. where people think it's kind of fun or trendy to go shop in a thrift store.
Right.
As opposed to people who go because that's what they need,
right?
And to be able to get by every day. And the fact that he had no idea.
And that was the hard. Totally, I had a hard time with that. Yeah. How was he not like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was charming. And in a way, I guess that's charming, right, that he's not thinking about that. But he's not thinking about it because he has the luxury.
Because he has the privilege to not think about it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was pretty oblivious.
Yeah.
I mean, and I didn't dislike him.
Yeah.
But there were times that... Yeah, I wish he had been a lot more tuned in.
I liked
to
that
Julian
she liked
happening.
Him.
Yeah,
I mean, I appreciated that, but I had a really hard time with him personally. So yeah, when Lorena met him and she was so like judgy, I was like, yep, I'm right there with you.
I have to say, Lorena was just a great character. You know, she's a secondary character. She's really not in the book that much.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. I just thought her honesty with Julia. And just her willingness to be who she was and not mm-hmm. worry about what anybody else thought, mm-hmm. even Julia sometimes, was refreshing. And you could see how they would be friends.
Yes.
Because I think they both had that strong sense of self, that their selves were very different. But they both had that strong sense of self that would be refreshing to find in a peer, because I think that's unusual in a high school.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and there are times where I felt like, I wanted Lorena, I compared it to some of the other young adult books that we've read recently where the friend was better about things like advice. Like, I felt like when Julia asked her about sex, and she's like, well, you got to shave down there. I was like, can we prioritize the things that you're going to tell your friend?
Yes.
Like, really?
That's
Come on, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's that moment where I felt like I wanted her to be not a better friend, because I think she was a great friend, but I wanted her to have better advice.
Right.
Yes.
But then when... And we haven't talked about Wanga yet, but there was a lot of where I hated him because Julia hated him.
Yeah.
And then I come around to really love him. But that moment where they came and they like did the dance in the street when she was in the hospital window, that scene was just precious. Where I was just like that. I mean, those are the friendships that you hope for in your life, that, you know, people can just know the right thing to mm-hmm. do to comfort you.
Right.
At moments where there's really not much of anything. There's so little that can be done to mm-hmm. make somebody feel better.
Well, and again, I think you said, I hated him because Julia hated him. And I think, again, like, Sanchez does such a good job of putting you in her mind, in mm-hmm. her thoughts. It's really remarkable because I found myself the whole way through reflecting in myself what she was feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Because, I mean, I think that with the mom, because it wasn't until... she goes to Mexico mm-hmm. and Mama Jacinta talks to her and explains some of the stuff that had happened mm-hmm. to her mom. And then she starts to see her mom in a different light. And it goes back to
and
what
her
she
dad.
Said, Jen. She's just a lot more hopeful.
Yeah.
And her dad and the artistic part of her dad. I mean, I think I wound up seeing all of the other mm-hmm. characters based on her perspective turning that led to me thinking of them differently. Mm-hmm. And that's really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that the way, I mean, yeah, just what I said before, just so strong, everything is just so strong mm-hmm. with that character throughout the whole thing. I don't think there's any way to see it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And with Lorena, was it that Lorena, mm-hmm. Her best friend, when you were saying that about the advice, but like that was authentic.
That's yeah. right.
That's the, right. That's the best advice she had to give. I mean, based on her right. choices and her personality, like that. I mean, that was what was important.
That's yep. her priority.
Yeah.
Clean shaven.
Well, so I love how she was like, yeah. if you called me for advice, if you called for me for advice, then listen.
Yeah.
I'm giving you advice. Here it is.
And I love Tulia's innocence, too. Like, yes. I mean, that she yeah. was, if she just, you know, she didn't know. I mean, that was her best avenue for figuring out what to do. And
well, and there are so many ways that she wasn't innocent, and that she was yeah. had such experience, and that she had such deep thoughts about the world. And then, yeah, yes. to have this other side of her. Because, mm-hmm. again, I think high school kids are like that. They're going to be mature in places, but they're not mature and
across
knowledgeable.
The board.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's right. going to have spots of innocence. And yeah, mm-hmm. she was very real.
Let's talk a little bit about the trip to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
I thought that was my favorite part of the whole book.
Yeah.
Was that part where they were in Mexico.
For me too.
And she just learned so much yeah. in such a short trip. It's, you know, I just thought that was amazing.
I
so what
too.
Do you all think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I talked about the book getting lighter, and that mm-hmm. was a part
yeah.
that just, I mean, it just felt so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, and it wasn't that everything that happened there was great,
right.
But it felt like she had control over herself and who she was, and that helped her because she learned so much about her parents.
Mm-hmm.
She understood her life more and the decisions mm-hmm. that they were making for her and some of the sacrifices that they were making for her and for Olga. I loved, and the part where she finds out that her father was an artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought she connected with him because he was such a, almost like a statue mm-hmm. in her life, that mm-hmm. he came in and he sat,
mm-hmm.
and she just didn't see him doing anything. And so to find out that, yeah, he's a person with a complex backstory that you know nothing about,
mm-hmm.
I think also opened her up to seeing that about her mother, and finding out that her mother had been raped when they were coming to the United States. I think helped her to understand more
and
about
that
her mother
dad
and her
had
father.
Watched.
Right.
I mean, yeah. he'd been, you know, so powerless to do anything. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah.
I think it made her understand why her mom was just so, I mean, wanted her
so
there.
So protective.
So mm-hmm. overprotective.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to what you said about the sacrifices that they made and mm-hmm. the choices that they made to try to provide a better life for their family. And I think that is tough too, because, you know, when she goes back to Mexico, she gets to see all these great things about her family,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, so much about that was just awesome. I mean, she's riding the horses, and, like, Esteban,
yes.
and how great he was,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, her interests there, all of that was really awesome. But then, I mean, the violence in the street,
right.
and the reality that things were hard there, and, you know, that they were like, well, we thought it was going to be safer, or we wouldn't
mm-hmm.
have had you come,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's, you're going to need to go back, because we don't want you to be unsafe, and
right.
so I think,
well, and then
you know,
to think that they're living with that daily, like,
absolutely.
they're
yeah.
sending her back to save her, and to protect her, but they are still there, living
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
every day, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all the beautiful things, but also the hard things,
mm-hmm.
and so, yeah.
Well, and I thought, so this is where, if you have not already realized, you will confirm that I have zero accent. But Esteban, I thought that was great, too, because I think so often in this book, like, Connor would have been the answer, and he would have been the person against whom she found her own identity.
Right.
And so to have her be attracted to Esteban and to have a good experience with him,
mm-hmm.
but it that also didn't turn out to be, like, the relationship.
Right.
Just that she was a girl, and these guys were great, and they were great in different ways, and maybe Ashley would say Connor wasn't so great, but yeah, you know, however, that
but
they,
she appreciated him,
right?
And
that they
yeah.
each had strengths,
mm-hmm.
and I liked that too. That it wasn't
yes.
just
mm-hmm.
about finding this perfect romance with this perfect boy, that it's about her,
right?
And that they are a part of that. So I thought that was great too.
Yeah.
That's another side of her personality, that she's coming to know more,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I think so much of the book was just about unpacking what the past
mm-hmm.
and how that gets you to the present. And I think about, you know, that both the boys helped her learn more about herself
yes.
in her present situation.
Yes.
It was more about this, you know, the journey of self
mm-hmm.
and the discovery of the self and her quest to go to college. And, you know, I mean, her,
mm-hmm.
she had her drive and her ambition, the direction she was going, but I just keep thinking about, her wanting to learn more about Olga.
Right.
And her mom, you know, that, again, just how differently people handle grief.
Yeah.
And kind of getting to the present moment that so much of, you know, she went back to Mexico and learned a lot about her family. She went into Olga's room and, you know, into her laptop and into where she used to work and found her old friends, all in this effort to know more about her, to help her understand, you know, how things all fit together, kind of.
Yeah. It was odd for me, like, when I was reading the book, in the beginning, I felt so much like the old, like, I was like, okay, we're going to figure out what happened to Olga. And then in the middle of the book, I'm like, okay, no, that's not, we're not really going to figure that out. We're going to figure this. And then it all came together in the end, which I really appreciated. But in what you were saying, Jen, about the boys, if I were to tell someone about this book, I wouldn't even mention the boys.
Yeah,
because
right.
That is what I love, because I think often in YA, it's all about the relationship. It's all about the angsty stuff. Right. And I really didn't feel that
kind
way.
Kind of budding relationship.
But yes.
And them coming to some kind of fruition.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm here for that too.
Right.
But I like that this book was different and that, that it was more about her finding herself and... I read another book about like that recently called "Piecing Me Together" and by Renee Watson, and this book reminded me of that. Okay, so what about the whole thing about Olga? So we've kind of talked about all the things happening with Julia, and then at the end, the Olga mystery comes to fruition, and we find out what is going on. I was not expecting that. I have to say, I thought that
I definitely wasn't expecting the pregnancy.
No.
Pretty early on, you think she's having some kind of affair or something.
I thought maybe she was having a relationship with Angie, like her best friend.
Yeah, yeah,
that's definitely where
I thought that too, but that was because Julia thought that, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, she had some thoughts about that. So I feel like, again, like you pointed out before, Jen, I think, you know, we really felt whatever she felt. So I think she speculated that. But yeah, so there's kind of this mysterious
relationship. That was my least favorite part, I think. Was that, the way that played out was my least favorite part of the
section.
Book.
Because I was going to say,
it came out of the blue, and like I never knew who this person was. And I mean, I understand we're seeing this from Julia's point of view. But as a reader, I was like, wait, what? Because, you know, it felt a little...
It was very secondary for me.
Yeah.
And I think when we chose it for book club, the description really emphasized that she is investigating her sister's death and this hidden life that her sister had. And
it's kind of so like Turtles All the Way Down, the
description,
you know?
That's true.
I was anticipating it to be a much larger part. And then when we did finally find out who it was, it was like...
Who is this person?
Yeah, and so what? And I mean, I think it was important that she had to make a decision whether to reveal everything she discovered to her parents. I thought that part was satisfying. And I agree, Sarah, that I liked that it came back around at the end. But ultimately, it just didn't matter that much to me because I thought it was much more... She didn't need the details of what her sister did to figure out who her sister was.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think... I enjoyed the process of her figuring out who her sister was and who she was, but I didn't really care who she had the affair with or that, I guess I cared that she was pregnant, but not a whole lot. I don't know.
And I mean, in her decision not to tell her parents, really showed a lot of growth. I mean, to protect, because she was protecting them, you know, because she probably would have been easier to talk about it because, you know, she didn't really. So
I think she kind of said that to Dr. Cook, it was Dr. Cook.
Which maybe we should circle back around and talk about her suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Because to go back to Dr. Cook.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that when she... So coming back to that, you know, she reaches her crisis point that we could all debate how, like, Jen was like, there were a million red flags. And I was like, I just thought I related to what she was saying, you know, and that she was just being direct about how she felt.
Yeah.
But for sure, she reaches her crisis point that we all, as the readers, I think, can understand her getting to between her grief, her parents, the pressure they were putting on her, the way that her life was falling apart and no one was helping her. And then, you know, depression. And the, all the stuff with yeah. the, and her depression.
Which
and
existed.
The journal. I mean, I think those things precipitated.
Yeah, there's a question. Mm-hmm. There's a quotation. My mood shift like that all the time, even before Olga died. One minute I feel okay, and then all of a sudden my energy plummets for no reason at all. It's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make sure she wasn't depressed because she was sad. She right. was depressed because it was a medical condition.
Right. Like yeah. she felt that prior, I mean, that certainly she had the clinical mm-hmm. depression prior to this and then compounded.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I think, you know, she gets to that crisis point. For one thing, I think, I mean, I just loved where her dad rushes in. To save her. And she said, I heard the panic in his voice and I felt terrible for hurting him, but couldn't force myself up. I'd never loved him like I did at that moment.
Oh my gosh, that part.
I mean, that part as a parent too, like, I mean, just thinking about not being able to get in that room, you know,
yeah.
because oh my goodness. It just brings tears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think Sanchez just does a great job of yeah. laying it out there. It's raw.
Yeah.
The things
is.
In the book are raw. And I think, so, you know, we find her in the hospital, and we don't know how she's gotten there particularly.
And I thought that was so great, that there was that gap.
Right.
And then we had to go back to figure out what had happened.
Yeah, and I think, again, mirrors a lot of what she's doing, is working back to remembering that moment and remembering what happened, and you know, sorting out how she got there. And I loved the hard work that she was doing to try to dig herself out of some of the... of, you know, some of what she was experiencing. And I didn't think that Sanchez, suggested that there were easy answers or that it was all going to just go away. But it was hopeful. I mean, it's what we talked about before, that the tone of the book changes and there is definitely hope as she's looking ahead. And I think, I mean, it's so painful in that moment that she's so close to graduating and to being able to, like, move to this whole new phase of her life that's going to be so free. But I also, and see, that goes back to what you were saying, Jen, about you felt like there were a million red flags. I felt like it was somewhat abrupt.
Mm.
But I also thought, unfortunately, I've experienced this with students where, like, it is common, like, that is part of suicide awareness for teens, is that it can happen in an instant, whereas with adults it's much more statistically likely that there are a lot more clear patterns and signs leading up to an incident, whereas, like, for a kid it really can happen, like, that moment where she's just wandering around in Chicago and then goes from this, like, I'm wandering around aimlessly to I cannot do this anymore.
I do want to say, in the end, after she's come through and she's waiting for the college letters and all those rejections start coming in, I'm like, she better
accept
it to one of those colleges. Because after all that...
Because if not, we're writing letters to the colleges on her behalf.
Yes. Well, and I also thought I think it would have been easy for Sanchez to write her as the kid who, after the suicide attempt, is denying that there was a problem, is denying that she wants help, and is just a jerk to, like, the counselor. And so I thought it was wonderful. Like you said, she's doing the hard work of recovery. She's not rejecting all of the help that people are offering. She may not want to go through every step that, you know, she didn't want to go to Mexico, but that ended up being great for her. And so I think that was great, too, because I think that fits in with her as a character who's growing and who is learning that she needs help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that goes back to what you said, Jen, about us seeing everything through her, because I was like, why are they making her go to Mexico?
Uh-huh.
She doesn't want to go to Mexico. Why are they making her? And then when she was there, I was like, yay, she went to Mexico. Because she was so she does. Yeah, she did a great job. Mm-hmm. Very
I know. The more we talk
writer.
About it, and we already talked about this in book club, but the more we talk about it, just the more appreciation I have for how vivid this character is. So before we head into our pairings, we've really enjoyed discussing Erica Sanchez's I'm Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter, and we'd love to keep the discussion going. So you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at UnabridgedPod. You can also check out our website, unabridgedpod.com. You can have a discussion there, and we would definitely love to hear what you think. While you're there, if you want to read along with us, we have links to our upcoming books. And if you click on those links, they'll take you to Amazon, and we'll get a small amount of the proceeds, which does help us continue to have giveaways and other things that support the podcast and help you. We also have a list of our upcoming books there. So anything you can do would be helpful. So go ahead. Also, you can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, and we would love it if you would rate us or review us or both. That helps us to reach a larger audience. So anything you can do would be helpful, and we'd love to know what you think. So now we'd like to talk about our pairings, the books that we think match up well with I'm Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter. The book that I'm talking about is The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, and this is considered a classic, so many of you may have read the book, and I don't want to give any spoilers for those of you who haven't, but I think the thing that connects this book for me is just the feeling. I think in that book, Holden Caulfield is the protagonist, and he is also suffering from depression and anxiety, mm-hmm. and I think you feel the weight of that in the same way that you do at the beginning of I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter. And so I just thought, as I was reading Sanchez's book, I kept thinking about The Catcher in the Rye. And it's been a long time since I've read it, but that is the overwhelm. Like, when I think about that book, I think about that feeling that I had when I was reading it. And so I think that would be a great pairing for someone who was interested in the ways that authors can reach readers that way.
Hey, it's Sarah, and so I am going with a middle grade book for my pairing, and the book is Counting by Sevens by Holly Goldberg Sloan. The book is about a little girl, a 12-year-old, who is on the autism spectrum. She has obsessions with medical conditions, and she's a child who's been adopted, and she's really close with her adoptive parents. She has a hard time connecting with anyone but them. And then this is not a spoiler, this is in the book jacket, but they're tragically killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And then the book, that happens at the very beginning. And the book is about how she navigates through her life, having lost these mm-hmm. two people that are her biggest, like her champions mm-hmm. and the people that have connected with her. And it sounds really sad, but it's actually really hopeful. And her journey is just amazing. And the way that Sloan writes her, you feel like you feel exactly like you did with Julia, that you mm-hmm. are seeing everything through, Willow is the name of the main character, through her eyes. And it's just an amazing, hopeful book that is it's born out of tragedy, but the hope that carries through is just so inspiring. And I had a lot of middle grade students who really liked that book. So that's my pairing for this one.
Gosh, that sounds great. Man. And I'm glad you said it was hopeful instead of really tragic, because I was like, oh, that's really compelling, but also sounds... So yeah, I'm glad to know about the tone a little bit. This is Ashley, and I wanted to talk about Everything I Never Told You by Celeste Ng. I've mentioned that at other times, I think, because mm-hmm. We've talked about Little Fires Everywhere, but I thought there were a lot of similarities as far as family dynamics and the way that family and the history of each person's personal experience impacts the way the family interacts together as a mm-hmm. whole. And in both positive and negative ways, it plays out in how parents and children and siblings interact with each other. And so in the very beginning, and this is the opening lines, it says, Lydia is dead, but they don't know this yet. Mm-hmm. And so up front, you know that. And it is... It is a painful, it's heart-wrenching in parts. It is a painful read in parts, but it is stunningly beautiful. And the way that she can just really, Ng does such a great job of really digging into each person's individual existence. Mm-hmm. And then the way that that weaves this fabric that becomes this whole tapestry of mm-hmm. people is just phenomenal. And so, I mean, I loved, and it does also have a lot about the way that secrets impact family, mm-hmm. Just like I felt like I'm Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter. I mean, a lot of it is, what do you withhold? What do you share? Right. And what impact do those choices make or have on the people that you love? And so I feel like there's a lot about that too. But yeah, just a phenomenal book that's really, all of it is getting back to what happened to Lydia and how that moment occurs. And so it's a lot of like you're in the present, but then, and I always like that in storytelling, but you know, you're in the present and then you're moving back through to get to that moment. And in this case, you know, you have to go back a long way for some of the characters. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that it was an amazing book. It does have a lot of similarities.
I just had an epiphany while you were talking, because I was thinking that Julia's decision at the end of I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter not to tell her parents. It's interesting that she has made the same decision that they made about not revealing what happened. Anyway,
well, sorry, that's awesome. I was just like, oh my gosh. I know. I was thinking we didn't talk a whole lot about that decision. And I did wonder in the end, you know, is she going to tell them? Because it that last part about something else to love, something that is dead. I don't know if I can put my hand on it. But, you know, that there's the quote at the end where she says, that I thought was so tender about, you know, that they would love this baby that they lost but didn't know they had, which did kind of suggest to me maybe she would tell them.
That's true.
But, yes, I agree. Again, it's that I think it is relevant that we try to protect the people we love, sometimes by not withholding information, but then sometimes that can be really hurtful. Yeah. So,
that sounds like a great book.
Oh, man. So good.
All right. So now we want to move into classroom connections. So at the high school level, I absolutely think this book would be appropriate to teach. I do think it would be a difficult read, as we've talked about. Not just, I don't think it's hard to read, but I think emotionally it could be really difficult for some students. So I think I would probably offer this as a choice, just because I wouldn't want to force a kid who would be triggered by the content to read it. But I think there's so much to dig into and so much for people and especially teenagers to learn from Julia's journey that I would love to have this in my classroom.
Oh, absolutely. I feel the same, that it would be great. And for sure, I'd have it on my shelf. I think that, I mean, just like it, The Catcher in the Rye, you know, just like thinking about the teenage voice that is really unique and clear and different from an adult perspective. I just feel like Sanchez is right on it with that, and kids relate to that. And so I think that's really significant. But I agree that I would probably, knowing that Olga dies right away. So I think telling kids that, is fine. And then saying that Julia struggles with depression. I think those two things I'd probably want kids to be aware of. And that it's a gritty book.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I am drawn to gritty books myself, and I know that some students are as well. But just making sure they knew those things, particularly if they're going to choose it for a lit circle or in those kinds of settings, you know, if they're doing it in any kind of group or whole class reading.
For middle school, for eighth grade, which is where, you know, I spent most of my time, I would not have taught a whole class because there's just such a wide range. But I definitely have middle school students who would have enjoyed it and really gotten a lot out of it. So I wouldn't have taught a whole class, but I definitely would have had it on my shelf. And like you both said, I think it's important to have it on a shelf in a middle school, because it's so nice to see a book, like I said in our main discussion, that doesn't have the main thread is not a relationship. Just like Piecing Me Together by Renee Watson, which I would have also had in my classroom, because both those books have a strong female protagonist, which I think sometimes is lacking in young adult literature, and especially middle grade literature, that has like grittier topics. And I would have both of those, and the protagonist values education, and they are working toward education, and I think it's really important to have those things, especially for eighth graders who are just getting ready to embark on their high school journey. So I would definitely have them on my shelf. I definitely would have this on my shelf. I wouldn't teach it whole class, but definitely on my shelf.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about, but you know, the Latina voice, that is so strong, and also her, like, I just love how Julia's working out her cultural heritage and what that means, and you know, looking forward but also looking back, and how does she reconcile her family's experience with her own experience. So definitely the first generation voice, I think all of that is just amazing, and adds to you know, a classroom library.
Absolutely. And when I'm thinking about my former students, I had a lot of first generation Mexican and also Hispanic students, but we had a lot of students that came from Mexico, and I think about the literature that was available to them in my class and in our library, and that wasn't a lot. So I appreciate that there's something from, especially from a female perspective.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
Do you have comments or opinions about what you heard today? We would love to hear them. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, on Instagram and Twitter at UnabridgedPod, and on the web at unabridgedpod.com. Thanks for listening to Unabridged.